Come to the 64th Annual OA Birthday Party. Together, we get better. In person, January 12th through 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, food, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories covering all aspects of eating disorders, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, boutique, shop till you drop, and much, much more. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website. Act fast. Rooms sell out quickly. Why? There is a solution. You will hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together we get better. Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam. I'm a compulsive overeater.
I am.
Thank you, Alex, for asking me to share. I got a text late in the game, so you'll forgive me all. I'm going to be leaving early, but I said I can come here and share. I probably am leaving a little bit early, but I'm happy to be of service today and to say yes. For those in Zoom land, I just want to show you, this is probably the most important thing you'll see, is that I'm a guy who used to weigh between 135 pounds and 140 pounds more than I do now. I've been made at a healthy body weight for a lot of years now, and it's the biggest miracle of my life, no matter what's going on. I forget that. It's easy to forget. It's easy to get pulled into other things. But on November 30th, 1998, I was relieved of my crazy eating. I don't know what happened. I have no idea why it happened. I know less as time goes on. My conviction level here is, I don't know. Like I was just listening to a group of men like really hammering home that you got to do your 10 step every day, which I totally agree, except I didn't do it, right? I didn't follow the prescription exactly. I didn't do my step work until I had to. And I'm not saying that's the right way to go, and I'm very dialed in, but I don't know why it worked for me and why it doesn't take for some people. I have no idea. I really don't. I do know that I got to a place and I had a moment of willingness on November 9th, 1998, something in me was ready to listen to someone who I met who had answers that and to questions and had ideas around things and a certain energy, that somehow I was willing to say yes in a way that I hadn't been before. And for that, I'm grateful because I'm still here. I didn't get abstinent. It took me 3 weeks to get abstinent. And from November 9th to November 30th, 1998, I was wobbly here. It's probably wobbly after that too. And I stayed. So the most important message I can think of is I stayed. I'm guessing that's what happened, is I stayed, and I'm so grateful that I, you know, for whatever reason, I heard a message here that said that I can't eat in a certain way anymore. It's over. And something in me was able to take in that that the rest of my life, one day at a time, had to be, I heard it really, really loud and clear, that being in program meant a series of experiences that I have to learn how to abstain through. So segments of experience, and each one is designed for me to say, here's how I don't eat over it. And that has a lot of clarity for me about what it means to not eat over it. And there's the only way I'm going to be able to not eat over something, at least in my experience, is to be a part of this collective group that is different than anything else I had encountered prior, right? It's a very different experience than what I had been a part of. And I didn't know what my issue was till I knew what my issue was. I wasn't awake till I was awake. I couldn't hear what I couldn't hear until I was able to hear it. And I'm so grateful, because I could have heard other things here, right? I heard, it depends what I was looking for. If you're, by the way, if you want to eat, you can eat in the rooms, right? If you want to, there's so many different paths here. And I know for me, I hated the burden of excess weight. I did not like the feeling of distortion. I did not like the, I did not like what it brought for me. And I had this disease right off the gate. You know, I'm a person who found food early, and, you know, it was on, and I love eating. I love it. I still love it. I love food. I love the effects. I love the energy. I love the charge that comes around mealtime. And I like the way it feels. I still do. I still like, it's not like I became numb to eating. I have to eat. But the energy that I put into my eating experience and my disease, I had no idea what that was, right? But it was on, and if you're like me, I found it so early. I don't even remember a time where I didn't have it. My size wasn't there. I always thought I was always the heaviest guy in the room, or one of them. You know, at 13, I look at pictures. I was heavy, but I wasn't like I was when I got to well over 300 pounds. So that's a lot to live with. So I'm here. I got here because it hurt. It really hurt to be the person, the heaviest guy in the room. And it hurt on a physical level. I would break furniture, right? It hurt on an emotional level. I didn't feel like I was a part of anything. And I was very, very busy compensating in my head for how I thought you saw me. Maybe I was right. Maybe I was wrong. I was probably wrong about this. You didn't think about me as much as I thought you that you probably weren't thinking about me that much, but I think about heavy people when I see them. I'm not immune from a moment, right? But my story is that you spent your day disgusted with me, because I was disgusted with me. And I wasn't disgusted with me because I'm bad. I was disgusted with me because it doesn't feel good to be out of control in anything in my life, right? When I have a sense that I've lost my way, and I'm negotiating something that's hurting me. When I'm in a story of obsession that hurts me so much, I don't feel good, whether it's food, alcohol, money, relationships, jobs, right? But my primary thing that started the process of waking me up, and my mothership, right, issue here is food. And yeah, it was hard. It was hard. It was very, very, very hard to live as a food addict. It's a hard thing to be, because I kind of want you to see me a certain way, even though I don't see myself that way. So I fight hard to make you like me. And I'm just speaking about what it was like. Fought really hard to make you see me the way I want to be seen, and not the way I want to be seen, not the way I see myself. And so I start collecting a lot of resentments and bitterness. And I tell myself a story about the world that I should be recognized more. And I'm disappointed in you if you don't recognize me a certain way, as a man, as somebody who's smart, as somebody who's effective. If you don't see me those ways, I start collecting and snowballing a story of animosity and bitterness and real fear, because at the core of this, I don't see myself as any of those things, right? I see myself as, you know, we on our fourth step, one of the first things, right, we talk about when we process and we sort of examine our resentments, the first thing we say is, one of the first things we look at is self-worth, is self-esteem. We kind of brush over it. But my value of myself is very, very, very low when I'm in my disease and I'm not working a program. So think about all those years I started, the story that I told myself about you and the world and where I am relative to the world and what it means to collect a story. So I was in a lot of drama internally and with you. I didn't play well with you because I hurt so much and I didn't want to feel that pain. So if you do that for long enough, right? For me, I get bigger and my world gets smaller, right? I get bigger. The way my disease is expressed is through excess food, eating in a really disturbing way. I get bigger, the world gets smaller, and I don't feel like I'm a part of it. I was thinking this morning, one of the things that we say is join us, right? Right? Envision for you, you know, join us. And I invite everybody to join us. Joining is one of the hardest things for me, right? Feeling a part of is not my natural state. I feel separate and it's hard for me to feel comfortable. I think back to me as a kid, I was very, very painfully shy. And it wasn't easy. And I have total compassion for people.
That's 10 minutes.
Thanks. I have total compassion for people who don't feel like they're a part of the experience here. Because some of us are more extroverted probably, and it comes more naturally. So for anybody who has a hard time feeling connected after a meeting or before a meeting, I get it. I get it. It's hard. It's hard to put your hand out and it's hard to receive. I once heard in an AA meeting, I heard somebody say, I can give love. I just don't know how to receive it. And it resonated with me. It's hard to take it in that but we have to be a part of something here. I have to be a part of, this is where I go for wellness. And it's a heavy week for me, right? It's a heavy week for me. You know, I'm just personally affected by the events of the world. And the truth is, I was telling somebody this morning, like every moment of all of our lives, bad shit happens all over the place. But this time it's affecting me. I'm awake to it, right? Just like I wake up here, right? I wake up to the challenges of life. And again, another opportunity for me. How do I learn how to not hurt myself with food in the face of whatever comes my way? And this time it's people around me are hurting, right? I have a wife who wants to volunteer and offer her services abroad and be on the ground there. I have a college daughter who's scared, right? And I have friends and family who are, you know, who are impacted. I'm just awake. That's every second of every day of my life. I can connect to the pain of the world. How do I do that? How do I use my program to not hurt myself so I can be available to the world, right? As a loving and tolerant, that's our code here, in a loving and tolerant way. And in a God-centered way. Right? What does it mean to trust that for me, my primary purpose here, right, regardless of what's going on, I have a primary purpose, right? It's a spirit of how do I not hurt myself with food, and how do I help you to deliver a message of walking through anything and carrying that message forward. And that's, it keeps me kind of grounded, right? I don't need a rally. I can be right here, right? I can be right here. And this is where I can draw strength. And this is where I can give back. This is where I'm really the most effective, I think, in terms of what I could bring to the world. Maybe I can practice these principles in my affairs other ways, but this is the main artery for me. So that's how I absorb pain. And my meditation and prayer, they're interchangeable to me, right? How do I find God through everything and find and trust that I don't know much, you know? I'm going to go back to that theme. I know less, which is fascinating. I kind of know less. I used to speak with such conviction here. I know less, but I know I've had an experience that worked for me. If somebody wants what I have, I can share my experience. But if you want what you have, or you want with somebody else, do what you do or do what they do, right? But ultimately, right, I have what I have, and I do what I want to keep doing what I'm doing. So what does that look like for me? So I really am grateful that I got connected to this concept of there's a sober experience here that I want to be a part of. And it means that for me to begin to arrest my disease, I'm fired. I'm out, right? Because there's no way that I know how to play in negotiation with food. I just don't know how to. I don't know how to. I can listen to all of you and find and listen to why it's okay for me to hurt myself with food. Not you're saying it, but I can listen so closely and say, oh, I hear floating fruits and my recovery is, but my abstinence is and my food. I can hear where can I eat more. And that's the thing that kills me, right? Because I'm a more machine, right? And I need to have, for me, right, it's very, very good for me to know what beginning, middle, and end is, and to say, this is what I can have, this is how much, this is when, and it's freedom producing for me, right? But once I open up the room of, once I open the door of maybe a little more and it's up to me, that 100% of the time for me results in my experiences that it results in a lot of pain and a lot of disturbing eating that's and breaking chairs. And I don't want to see the footage. I don't want you
five
to see
more minutes.
I don't want you to see the footage. Thanks of me eating. So that's the big, most important thing is that I know that about me, right? I'm a drug addict with food. Makes a lot of sense to me. Thank God somebody taught it to me. Thank God when I was playing around with food, somebody said to me, you're going to hurt yourself if you do what you're doing. And that landed on me. I'm going to hurt myself in a most serious way if I continue to play games with food. So what does my morning look like? I woke up. I read stuff I shouldn't have read, right? If I didn't get centered right, I started getting into it. Then I wrote. I answered the question of when we retire. I broke the rules. I answered when we retire at night in the morning. I answered those lists of questions. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Right? Am I keeping something to myself that should be shared? Right? Am I being a contributor or am I being selfish? Am I steeped in morbid reflection? You know, am I steeped in worry? Or remorse? Am I in the story of obsession? And what corrective measures need to be taken? Something along those lines. How am I contributing? How am I taking? And how am I being a taker? And what's the barrier between me and this connection? And I write it out. I play, you know, I do different things at different times. I meditated for about 23 minutes, meditated and prayed. I went to a meeting. I went to a men's fellowship. I'm a part of a group of men who are 100 pounders and have a similar vision. It's very, very helpful to me. I'm grateful that I can be a contributor. I feel like I've helped a lot of people, and I'm grateful for that. Giving people a form who probably wouldn't have had one otherwise in this way. It's powerful. Come here. The agitation of, I got a lot to do. I got a wedding later. I have a workout. I have to do my schedule. I have to finish some work up. I have to, I have to just be in the busyness of life. Do I have enough? Do I have enough money? Do I have enough work for this week? I sort of gather my stuff and, okay, how do I not be a dick? Right? Right? That's really, how do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this the nicest way possible? Right? Where I think about what can I contribute? How do I find the calm in the center? What do I need to do? So one of the things is I've got to do my own work, right? I've got to do my own inventories, and I have to ask, how can I help, right? Where can I be available, and how do I find center in the middle of all this? And I think what's kind of cool as you stay here for a while is that even though, and I it's disappointing if you I was always thought that the people with, much more time than me in the Valley, we have some people that have come to the meeting with 40, almost 50 years, right? And here's the bad news. If you think you're going to get a Zen fix of serenity, so far they're disappointing me, right? They are not Zen calm. They're living life, and they're living life, and they collect burdens and they get bothered too. But one thing I do see is that all those people, myself included, have found a way to cope with life on life's terms and center themselves in the principles here, which are not about me being free of life and resentment and I wants, but much and obsessions, but much more about how do I find center in the middle of that. So my prayer for me today is how do I look for serenity? How do I look for God no matter what's going on? And I pray, and that's, I'm not, I don't want to pray for what I want anymore. F that, right? I have enough evidence that what I want usually is bananas anyways, right? So how do I mean, what I want and how am I going to get it is not the right recipe for me. I'm bad at that, right? But how do I say, how can I adjust to anything that comes my way in accordance with the principles here? That's a good day for me. If I can get a fraction of that, I'm going to have a better day than if it's the me show and all my injustices and things that I think should go my way. So that's me today. I hope that helps somebody. And thanks for letting me share.